0702.
WhatsApp Weekend Breakfast
on 0727021702.
Right, in our personal finance feature this morning, talking about having your own balance sheet. And I think that's such a good idea, especially as we go into 2022. On the line is financial expert Paul Roelofse. Hi, Paul. Good morning. Good to chat to you once again.
Yeah, same to you, Ray. Yes, certainly. It's been a quick week, hasn't it?
Oh, it has.
We've one week into the year already. Can you believe it?
I don't know. I feel like I've lived a year, actually. But anyway, a balance sheet. Yeah, sure. Tell us more. That's quite fascinating, having your own assets versus liabilities equals profit.
Well, yes, certainly. It's a good starting point for any financial plan. When we sit down with clients to set up a financial plan, one of the key instruments or one of the key measurements is your personal net worth. And the balance sheet finds that for you. And it's a very simple exercise for anyone listening. We just need to have a sheet of paper. It's a good thing to do at the beginning of the year too, because it sets the tone for where you can find opportunities. And on the one side of the piece of paper, you would want to record all your assets. Now, that's a financial word for anything that you own. So you'd want to pull down your house, your other properties you might have, cash in the bank, perhaps your just generally any personal effects that you might own, your pension fund, and perhaps your investments as well. You'd make a list of all of those and the actual values that they have at this point in time, at the beginning of this year. And on the other side of the piece of paper, the other column is your liabilities, all the things that you owe on those specific assets. So if you've got a house of R1 million and you still have a bond of R500,000, then obviously on the one side, the asset side will be R1 million, but you still owe. So it's a liability. It's on the second column. Now, when you've done that exercise, you go right through everything as detailed as you possibly can. And you come up and you total the two, and the difference between the assets, the total assets and the total liabilities, is what we call your net worth. That is what you actually are worth at this point in time, starting off in 2022. And it's a good measurement because it now gives you opportunities to have a look and see how can I improve that net worth. And it's obvious you can either find some better growth assets, and put them on your balance sheet at the end of the year or during the year, and also make a very clear target to reduce the liabilities. Because if I can reduce the liabilities column significantly, so my net worth starts to improve that much as well. So it's a way, a formula, perhaps, of measuring what I'm worth and how can I improve on that net worth in the future.
It's clever because you're getting an eagle eyes view of what you are worth and where you're going. Because very often we just get that salary, it comes in, we pay our bills blindly, and we're not actually looking at what we're doing.
Exactly. That's the point. You know, and it's for everyone, Ray. You know, even if you don't have that much in assets, it's a way that you can start to target proving yourself. Because at the end of the day, that's where you're going to find your financial freedom. If ever you want to be financially free off the payroll one day with enough assets to support your lifestyle into the future, you're going to have to understand and measure how to get there. And this is the starting point without question. So in the financial plan, we would then go to that balance sheet and then we'd take it further now to say, right, what kind of savings have you got? And maybe next week we can talk about the income and expenses statement as well. But we want to find some disposable income that we can now employ into the balance sheet to say, right, let's knock off some debt with it perhaps, or let's also start investing in some good growth assets as well, you know, maybe a dual approach, so that taking us into the future, we've got this two-prong attack on the balance sheet so that we can improve that net worth again.
Talking about those high growth assets, what are you looking at? What can people do to get themselves really onto a good footing?
Well, in the conventional space, you know, and at the moment we're not that conventional because COVID has left us with a lot of new uncertainties. But in conventional speak, we would look at that time horizon that you've got to invest for. And if you're a really young person, you've got a lot of time ahead of you, you'd probably want to move into assets such as shares and equities and balanced funds, unit trust funds, all that expose yourself towards those kinds of assets. Shares, incidentally, of all the years, has been the best performer or return on investment compared to other assets like bonds, cash, property, etc. So you'd want to make sure that you've got a good chunk of shares, a share portfolio inside your particular strategy. And my view would probably be a unit trust that is balanced fund, which is a 60 or 70% of shares, and the rest is then spread across the other assets like property and bonds. And that's done for you by the manager. So you want to get into those kinds of spaces because traditionally or conventionally, they are the places and spaces that will give you higher rates of return. But they do need time, right?
Yeah.
You need to have a 5-10 year view at least before you participate in those. They're not for the short term. So it'll be there that you might have a starting point. But then there's the whole universe of other options as well, ETFs. Let's take some offshore so we can hedge against the rand. Yeah. You know, that's where financial speak and planning comes into it. So the answer is the short one, but the question's a short one, but the answer is a really long one. And it's also a very, it's different strokes for different folks because different situations need different types of weightings towards their assets.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that you do a lot of homework before you get there. But the balance sheet is a starting point.
Oh, I like that, the balance sheet. And of course, if you want, you can have a side hustle. And what that means is get some money in and then, Paul, invest in your ETFs, your shares, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's in any form of income that you can improve on to make sure that you can dispose. Well, anyway, put it this way. The more I save, the more I can save. Then obviously, the better the result is going to be at the end through compounding. And I like your idea. Look, if you can, find some extra income, but not using that as an excuse to elevate your lifestyle and start being a slave to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to make sure that you maintain your lifestyle, live in your means or under your means, and then use the extra disposable income to start getting wealthier by putting into those assets on that balance sheet that'll grow over time.
Mm. Paul, are South Africans able to actually, when you say live within their means, do we earn enough or are we sitting in a situation where we just can't? We have to have that second job, our third job, because we have no choice.
Well, we are. We're basically still in a form of debt trap. We have this appetite for debt. When extra income comes in, we tend not to save it as much. I think COVID has kind of given us a lesson there because we see savings has improved a bit. But we're still left with this very harsh debt ratio in the household on average, and it's around 70%, right? That 70% of our income is used to spend on debt, and now that puts us in a very precarious position because we're now slaves to debt. And to get off that and get away from that ratio, it's a pretty hard work and takes a lot of time too. And in that time and space, we probably could have done so much better if we had the money working for us rather than paying it off in debt. So to your question, we're still in a trap, and I think there's a long, long hard road still to travel.
Maybe then financial planning should be a subject at school where they teach you from when you're a little person, you've only got 10 rand, what are you going to do with it?
Well, there we go. And it'll start at things like the student loan as well. When you come to your student loan, you look at it a lot more wisely. If you were taught during school the sort of pros and cons of debt. Now, there are some debts that we do need, but then take healthy debt that we can comfortably afford and don't buy up. We'd rather buy with in moderation so that we can actually always walk through the interest rate hikes quite comfortably. And at the same time, leave some aside so that we can start compounding our money for our wealth as well. So you wean yourself off debt. So if those kinds of principles were brought into school at early stage, I think there'd be a clearer understanding for us, most certainly.
Right. Let's end up with a WhatsApp voice note. It says, Paul, would you advise to transfer funds out of a maximizer into a bond account or not? Maximizer bond account.
Well, if the maximizer, that sounds like a money market account. If that maximizer's rate is less than the bond, and the bond I'm assuming is an access bond, you'd want to transfer the money into the higher interest bearing debt. So if I've got a money market account, which I think is what they're talking about in terms of maximizer, you're probably getting about 4% on that one, Ray. Mm. The average bond at the moment is about 7.5%, maybe up to 10%. You want to just do a comparative, which is the higher rate of interest. And I would certainly put it in the access bond before the money market account, because you've got access to it just as much liquidity as the money market. And that extra 3 or 4% is certainly going to do a lot better to knock your bond off in a shorter space of time. But you've got access to it, you see. So it's probably a far better place than a money market account.
Yeah.
No taxes applied either.
Yeah, that's the good thing. That's a great thing, actually. Yeah.
Sure.
Financial expert Paul Roelof, so thank you so much for chatting to us again on a Sunday on 702.
Only a pleasure, Ray. Look forward to the next time.
Yeah, looking forward. Thank you, Paul.